welcome to another episode of The Blueprint powered by K Marketing Co. Today we have our very own video production specialist, Emma Morad, with us, and she is going to share a little bit more about the basics of video production with us. And we are very excited to hear more about that. Emma, can we just start with sharing a little bit about your background in video production with us?
Yeah, so I've been working with video for just about as long as I can remember. Used to make little movies with my best friend across the street when I was a kid.
I love that. Incredible.
And then I ended up going to college for TV and film production. Mm-hmm. And so throughout my time in college, I worked on a lot of different projects, varying from short films that actually played during the Faultline Film Festival, which was a short film festival, student film festival out in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. And then we also, my TV class produced a couple of different shows for our local news channels. Mm-hmm. One of them was called River Tales. And what we would do is we would go out into the community, find interesting stories. We'd interview people. We would get some B-roll footage, which is just, you know, video that just shows things that goes over voiceover, if you aren't familiar with the term B-roll. Mm-hmm. And then we'd find some nice background music and edit it all together. And then mm-hmm. one of the other senior students would edit it all together into mm-hmm. the TV show that would air on the local channels.
Yeah.
We also did some like live productions, so like camera switching, the whole nine yards. And then after I graduated, I actually got a job as a news editor for CBS 42 down in Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And so I edited all of the footage for our weekend news broadcasts in the evenings.
Wow.
So our photographers would go out to whatever stories we were covering, whether it was a crime scene, a local event, anything like that. They would shoot their video and then send it back to me. And I would cut it all together and then send it off to actually air in the live show.
Amazing.
As the anchors were reading, the video would play. Mm-hmm. I would try to match things up as best I could. Mm-hmm. And that was always a fun challenge there. Mm-hmm. And then when I left CBS 42, I came here to K Marketing Co.
Yay.
I actually started to edit the TV commercials for some of our local fire departments. We didn't have anybody to edit up here. We had some awesome videographers get some great footage, and they were actually able to send me a hard drive down in Alabama, and mm-hmm. I edited the footage from there. And then about a year ago, I moved up here to Lancaster, and I'm now doing all aspects of the video production. I'm no longer just the guy you send the footage to.
Yep.
I'm out there shooting it. I'm planning things. I'm actually normally on the other side of the cameras on this podcast. I am always in the room, but you can never see me.
Yes.
So it feels a little weird being on this side. But
I can imagine.
But I'm really excited to get to talk about video. I think it's a really awesome thing to get into.
Yeah. Super, super cool. So you have been very busy.
Yes, I
around
have.
The office, especially these past couple of weeks and months. And we have noticed that video has been a very up and coming and sought after thing for businesses, especially. Why do you think that video has become so important?
I feel like the importance of video hasn't necessarily changed. Mm-hmm. I feel like video has always been really important because it's mm-hmm. a different way to show things rather than just pictures or text on screen.
Yeah.
But I feel like the thing that's really changed has just been the accessibility of video.
Definitely.
Because, you know, 10, 20 years ago, most of the video you're watching is on your TV, maybe on your computer, you're watching YouTube or something like that. But now mm-hmm. everybody's walking around with a little television screen in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so much easier to both watch video and distribute video
mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to, there's no more DVDs. It doesn't have to be like a physical file.
Yeah.
You can just send it out into the cloud and it'll get out there.
There it comes.
And so I feel like that's been the biggest thing is just that it's become so much more accessible both to watch and to create.
Yes.
Because there are definitely, you know, you can get more up there in production value and stuff. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. not only are you walking around with a television screen, you are also walking around with the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a lot of more tools at your fingertips than I feel like ever before. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's why more people are being like, oh, we've got to get on this train.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. What do you think makes video more powerful than a static image?
There's a phrase that I've used before, and I feel like it just kind of sums that up so well, is everybody's heard a picture is worth 1,000 words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, video, 24, 30, 60, 120 pictures in a second. And
very
so it's
true.
Like, if one picture is worth 1,000 words, It's a lot. I don't necessarily want to do that math, but video is worth a lot. And it's just such a great way to really showcase in a different way what you do. Because you can explain it, you can type it out, you can take pictures, but being able to see every aspect of a process or every aspect of really anything, I feel like is the real power of video.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's say I am a business owner who is wanting to get started in video. What kind of equipment would I need to do that?
The only thing that I would say you 100% absolutely need in order to get started in video production is a camera. Mm-hmm. And if you're just really trying to get your feet wet and see if it's something you want to lean more into, your phone will be just fine. Mm-hmm. It's a perfectly acceptable camera to use to get started. Mm-hmm. And then as you kind of build your skills, you'll be more ready to kind of learn about camera settings and things like that and get more into that. But moving on from the camera, I feel like the next most important thing you're going to want is a tripod.
Yeah.
Our hands are only so steady. And yes. So if you want a nice stable shot, you're going to need to get a tripod that will hold the video camera steady while you're recording. Because it's also, if you're a one-man show, you can't always hold the camera for yourself. Sometimes you're going to need to set it up. And having a tripod is just the easiest way to have something else holding it. Mm-hmm. And then if you're wanting to do any kind of explainers, anything with talking, you might want to look into getting some microphones. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really awesome kind of relatively inexpensive, I'd say, like lavalier microphones. So like if you're scrolling on social media and you see someone holding the little fuzzy thing up to their mouth, technically those are supposed to be worn.
Yes. But it's fun to hold.
It feels more fun to hold it. But it's one of those things where like something like that can be super powerful because if your main point of your video is to get information across and you're going to be sharing that like vocally,
yeah,
you want to make sure your audio sounds good. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be anything super crazy expensive, but having something to clean up the audio is going to kind of give you that little level up from someone who's just using the audio from their phone.
Yeah.
And then the other things you'll want is if you're planning on editing anything, you're going to obviously need some kind of editing software. I personally use Adobe Premiere Pro. It's my favorite that I've ever used. I've used a bunch of different ones, Final Cut, DaVinci Resolve, all kinds of different programs. But Adobe Premiere is my favorite. If you're not looking to spend money on an editing program, which especially if you're just getting started, you might not. Mm-hmm. Adobe has gotten a little bit expensive in their subscriptions.
Yes, definitely.
So there are some more cheaper options. Mm-hmm. So especially if you're going for more social focused videos, Instagram edits, honestly, I've been pretty impressed with.
Definitely.
Their user interface is very, I'd say, beginner friendly for cutting together video clips, adding sound, adding audio, and getting them out to your social medias.
Yep.
And then I also do feel like CapCut is, I know, mostly popular on TikTok, but I feel like that's a really good, very accessible editing platform.
For sure.
If you want to go pro, if you want to pay a little bit, you can get the templates and stuff like that. And there are more features. But if you want to really get into learning about video production, DaVinci Resolve is a super awesome nonlinear editing software. It's actually free to download. Yeah. It will take some learning, but if you're looking to tackle that mountain, I think that's a great place to try and start.
Absolutely. Very, very cool.
I also feel like once you get all of that done, if you're, like I said, if you're like, I would like to get into video production, I want to do this more, you might want to look into getting some lights, but that's something that you don't necessarily need to start out. You can use just the overhead lighting, lamps, the sun. We love natural lighting.
The sun. Yes. For sure. And I think it's super important as well to learn about natural light and how natural light works before you dive into artificial light. So
absolutely.
You don't have to lug lights around with you all the time.
Very easy to carry.
Very easy to carry.
Very easy to carry natural light with you.
For sure. So let's talk a little more about the process and how to set ourselves up for success. So what happens in the pre-production phase?
The pre-production phase, in my opinion, is both some of the most fun and some of the most important work that you're going to do.
Definitely.
On a video production. I say it's fun because it's the dreaming phase. It's where you're not necessarily concerned yet with the logistics of how everything is going to work out. That does come later in pre-production. Mm-hmm. But the beginning, you get to let your imagination kind of run wild and you'll scale back as you go.
Yeah.
But it is also the most important. I cannot stress enough how important pre-production is.
Yes.
Because every video you make, you need to have some semblance of a plan.
Yes. Yes.
You need to know what you want that video to do. Do you want it to inform somebody? Mm-hmm. Do you want to show something like a product demonstration type of video? Mm-hmm. Do you want to try and sell something? Like what is your goal? And so once you determine what your goal is, you need to move on from there of how do you want to reach that goal?
Yeah.
If you're trying to get someone to buy your product, do you think the best way to do that would be a product demonstration? Or would it be like a customer testimonial talking about the positive experience that they had? And so it's just a matter of how do you feel you want to tell that story?
Yeah.
And then from there, you decide, you know, what equipment do I need? Do I need to bring lights? Where am I going? Like, think about where you're going to shoot. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Very important to know where you're shooting. If possible, if you've never been there before, scout it out beforehand.
Yes.
Just so you know what you're working with, because there's nothing worse than showing up to a set thinking it's going to be one way. And oh my God, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's how you know, like, if you also try and go there in the time you'd be filming, because that tells you if you need extra lights, if the lighting's really bad, things like that. So you're trying to think about all those little logistics. Also part of this pre-production phase is storyboarding, which I feel like people see a lot when people are talking about movies and TV shows, but it's possible for any video project. And I feel like really important because that's, again, where you kind of let your imagination go. You're kind of, what do I want this to look like? Mm-hmm. And you can create it however you want. Some people like to draw their storyboards if they are so artistically inclined, or if you are like me and you cannot draw and even your stick figures look terrible, then you can use stock footage. Or if you're looking at other videos to inspire you, since this is your storyboard is really just for yourself and your crew to understand the vision for the video.
Yes.
Since that's the only goal, if you see another video you like and you're like, I really like the way they framed this shot, take a screenshot and put it in your storyboard. Because the best way to translate a vision to another person is being able to show it to them. Because unfortunately, I cannot telepathically communicate with you and tell you and show you exactly what I want this video to look like. Yeah. And so storyboarding is the best way that we can communicate those ideas to everybody involved in the production process. Mm-hmm. And so once you have your storyboard set up, then you're going to move into your shot list. Mm-hmm. And the shot list can be a big undertaking because it is literally, exactly as it sounds, a list of every single shot that you want to get on your production day. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to plan all of these out ahead of time so that you're not scrambling when you're on set and super frazzled because you don't know, do I need a close-up? Do I need a wide shot?
Yes.
If you can kind of take this time to look at your storyboard, okay, I need like a nice aerial to come in and then I want like a close-up on this and I want a medium shot of this. If you can kind of have those thoughts beforehand and list them out, you'll have a game plan for when you're on production, and you can also then build your shooting schedule from it.
Yes.
Because I like to break down my shot lists into like interior and exterior shots if I'm doing both, because I don't like to readjust my camera settings. I try to limit how much I readjust my camera settings during a shoot.
Yes.
So if we're going outside, typically I like to start outside and then move inside, because then I'll set my camera settings for the sun and everything outside. And then once we go inside, I readjust as needed. And I feel like that helps the shots keep moving. You're not spending as much time in between shots, figuring out what shot you're trying to get, what settings do I need. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to always be super detailed. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if you're like, I want to show the full shot of this, like a wide shot of this room, you just write that wide shot, the room type of thing. And that way, whoever's shooting, whether it's you or if you have someone else operating the camera, they know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And then it's easier to give directions.
Absolutely.
Everybody understands what's going on. They know where they need to be, when they need to be there, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so after we have been through pre-production, right? We've set ourselves up for success.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next? What does production look like?
So production is the day that everybody is looking forward to. It's the day I feel like everybody's always the most excited for when it comes to video production.
Because, definitely.
You know, maybe there's someone who's really excited to get in front of the camera, someone who's excited to try out the new equipment. But it's one of those things where production is the cornerstone for everything else that comes.
Yes.
Because you can plan and plan and plan and plan, but if you don't execute it, unfortunately, you're kind of just out of luck there.
Yes.
But if you can do your planning up front and, you know, like I said, make sure you have all the necessary equipment, make sure you get all the people that you need. If you need people in shots, make sure you have extras to stand in and things like that.
Yeah.
But then once, so that once you get to production, it's just rolling the cameras, setting up the equipment, If you have lighting, you'll set up lighting, set up any audio, cameras, all that stuff, and then you're rolling. Mm-hmm. And if you've, you know, created your shot list and your shooting schedule, everything should flow pretty easily from there. The other thing in pre-production that you need to keep in mind is it's a phrase I hear a lot of people say.
Yes, I know what you're going to say.
You cannot always fix it in editing. It is
correct.
It is simply just not always possible.
Yes.
And sometimes it is possible, mm-hmm. but it's a lot more time consuming yes. and difficult than anybody thought it yes. would be. Because there's certain things that absolutely you can fix in post. Like mm-hmm. if the color of the lights is a little too blue.
Yeah.
That's very easy to fix in color grading.
Yeah.
But if like the shot is framed incorrectly, the editor cannot magically create pixels in a frame. We can't magically I know there are some AI tools out there, but we cannot magically make more image appear.
Yes, exactly.
And so there are certain things you want to try to do everything in production as well as you can. Sometimes that means you're going to have to do a lot of reshoots.
Yeah.
Like if it's not exactly the way you want it, don't be afraid to make them do it again.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's just what you have to do.
A lot easier when you get it right the first time.
Your editor will like you a heck of a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Speaking
from experience.
Yes.
When you have a plan, post-production goes much smoother.
Exactly. 100%. You can definitely vouch for that.
I've done both planned and not very much planned video shoots, and the ones that are planned and executed properly on production are always the ones that turn out the best.
Oh, I can only imagine.
I like to think I'm pretty good, but I am not a wizard.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yes. So speaking of post-production, what does that look like? Walk us through that.
Post-production, that is where I actually specialized in college.
Of course.
Live and breathe Adobe Premiere Pro.
We love that for
and
you.
So I feel like post-production, it's very much whatever works best for that editor.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, the way I like to do it is if you have any kind of voice element, whether mm-hmm. it's interview questions or a script being read as a voiceover, anything like that, I like to do what I call a string out first, which is where you just lay everything out on your timeline mm-hmm. in the order that you would like for it to go.
Okay.
And so one thing that I like to do is Adobe Premiere Pro actually has a super awesome auto transcription tool.
Amazing.
It is not always the best for making accurate captions and subtitles just mm-hmm. because sometimes it doesn't know how to spell things, makes grammatical errors, but it's close enough for you to be able to understand what's going on in that video.
Yeah.
It's super helpful if you have a longer clip that you're trying to sift through.
Yes.
Because for me personally, I know I can read like a 7-page transcript faster than I can watch a 15 to 20 minute video.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm able to just see, okay, this is where I'm asking the question. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
This is where their answer that I really liked was. And then the thing that is so great is you can go into the transcription on Adobe Premiere and click on the word and it will take you straight to where that word is being said. Mm-hmm. So it's super easy to clip from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just lay out in the order that you want.
Yeah.
And then from there, once you have that all down, that's when I like to go through and add in my B-roll.
Yeah.
And so that way, if they're talking about making a cup of coffee,
yes.
I would go grab the shot I got of someone making a cup of coffee and drop it in right there.
Amazing.
Try and match things up as best you can.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily, sometimes you can't avoid it, but you don't want completely unrelated B-roll over video unless it's absolutely unavoidable.
Mm-hmm.
But it just really brings everything together when everything flows.
Yeah.
And so after you get all your B-roll laid down, that's when you move more into the fine-tune editing.
Okay.
That's where you're going to do your color corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to do this after I have all of my B-roll clips down on the timeline, because you can color correct one individual clip.
Yes.
But there's no guarantee it's going to match another one
mm-hmm.
if it's shot in a different color profile. Mm-hmm. And so you want to make sure that everything looks consistent, because while it might look really good when it's by itself, when it's put after a different video clip, you might be able to tell more of a difference.
Yes.
And so that's when you go through and do that. So once you finish your color correction, that's where you're going to move into audio.
Yes.
And so if you have background music or anything that you're putting in, this is normally where I put that in.
Yes.
And you're going to want to make sure that all of your audio levels are hitting certain levels.
Yes.
And it varies depending on what the audio is.
Yes.
There's a lot of great resources online to help you remember these and keep track.
Absolutely.
But if you're operating in something like CapCut or Instagram edits, like more social focused, they normally don't have this. But most other video editing softwares do have what's called a VU meter, which just measures the volume of your video clips.
Yeah.
And so normally it's color coded to make it extra helpful. Green means it is in acceptable audio range. It might mean it's too quiet.
Yeah.
But if it's green and you can hear it, chances are it's probably pretty good.
Green as far means as go. Yep. Okay.
And then once you get into yellow, yellow means it's getting a little too loud and you might need to scale it back a little bit. But in brief instances, a little bit of yellow, you should be okay, especially for like online distribution.
Yes.
If it is in red, red is bad. Red is very bad.
No good. Okay.
And so if it is in the red, you're probably going to need to drop it down a lot. And there is a chance that the audio file might be unusable.
Okay.
Because when audio hits a certain level, it starts to just get distorted.
Okay.
And so this is where it comes in. Production is very important to do it correctly. So if you're recording audio and you're seeing it hit in the red, you're like, oh, I'll fix it in post.
No. Not you might, always true.
You might be able to make it quieter, but that quality is already lost and there's no way to get it back.
Gotcha.
And so there, like I said, there's certain levels. Normally speech you want to be hitting at about negative 12 decibels as a peak. Sometimes it can get up to about negative 6. That's in that kind of like safe yellow range.
Yes.
And then you'll want your background music type stuff to be in the negative 30 to negative 24 range. And if you're using those more social focused platforms like I talked about that don't have a VU meter, your ears are good enough. If you feel like the background music is drowning out the person talking, bring it down a little bit.
Yeah.
If you feel like you can't hear it at all, bring it up. On those platforms, it's not as important to hit the exact numbers as it is if you're sending the video to, say, like a TV station or something. They have certain federal regulations they have to follow with what they broadcast.
Yes.
And the different specifications of that. So
gotcha.
Think about where you're putting it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very cool. So I guess maybe to wrap this up, what advice would you give to businesses who are looking to maybe just get started with some video production?
Honestly, the best advice I can give is just kind of play around, like have fun with it. Like if you're trying to give it a try, come up with an idea of something that you personally would like to try and make. I don't think that your first video project that you start working on should be something that you necessarily plan to necessarily run as an ad or anything like that. It's really just to see where you're at and kind of get your feet wet and kind of stretch those muscles a little bit.
Yeah.
And then once you kind of have a little bit of practice, that's when I feel like you can start moving into, you know, really trying to create videos. But I feel like the first thing you do should just be mostly a fun project just to see how things go, play around with different, like if you bought a camera, it's a great time to try out some different settings. Like if you want to try shooting in manual mode or something like that, things like that are, it's a great time to just kind of play around. And then in editing, see what different effects do, see what these color presets are. What does this slider do? Just playing around with different things. I feel like for me, so much of my knowledge and experience with video is just trial and error.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I most of what I've learned about audio editing, I have learned from creating this podcast for K Marketing.
Yeah.
I didn't do a whole lot of audio work before we started it, but I've been trying to work and learn more. And I feel like I've improved since we started doing the podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so I feel like just playing around with it, like if it's something, especially if it's something you find you enjoy, you'll kind of start to enjoy it. You'll look forward to the video projects. And so I feel like that's just the most important thing is just kind of stretching those muscles, seeing what you're comfortable with, what you need to work on before you start really going for it. But it's definitely something that I think anybody can do. It just might take a little bit of practice.
Definitely. Thank you so much for that insight, Emma. It has been super fun having you here on the side of the camera today. Super informative. I'm sure everyone loved hearing more about video. And that is all we have for this episode of The Blueprint today. We are looking forward to seeing you again next week. Be sure to tune in again on Thursday at 9 a.m. And we are super excited for you to join us for another episode. We will see you then.